Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 43 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
It is a really crazy situation to see something like that happening in your own hometown.
A man has been charged with assault after a shooting in the Grayson Taco Bell.
Boyd County's jailer has been indicted on malfeasance charges.
A new bill has been filed in the House to address overcrowding in Kentucky jails.
In sports, Rick Pitino is speaking out after the University of Louisville was stripped of its 2013 national championship.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Rain tonight with lows in the mid-40s. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A Grayson man is facing assault charges after a shooting in a Carter County Taco Bell. Police say 32-year-old Albert Callahan allegedly shot a man who was waiting for food inside the restaurant Tuesday. Grayson Police Chief Kevin McDavid says the victim was flown to St. Mary's Medical Center in Huntington.
We don't think this is a random shooting. Some of the exchanging of words took place maybe somewhere on North Carroll Malone Boulevard from here, maybe while they were traveling.
East Carter Elementary, Middle, and High Schools were on lockdown while police searched for Callahan. The man was apprehended about an hour after the incident.
A Boyd County grand jury has indicted jailer Joe Burchett on malfeasance charges. Tuesday's indictment comes after an investigation was launched in December by Boyd Commonwealth's attorney Rhonda Copley.
He can be subject to a fine from $100 to $1,000. Currently, the case is set in Judge Reese's court. I would anticipate, since Judge Reese is familiar with Mr. Burchett, that there will be a special judge appointed.
Copley says Burchett is accused of neglecting his duties as a jailer. The Boyd County Detention Center has recently experienced multiple escapes, inmate overdoses, and a riot that forced a temporary closure.
Kentucky State Police have arrested a 13-year-old girl after a threat was made to Anderson County Middle School. WKYT reports the teen is charged with two counts of second-degree terroristic threatening and one count of criminal mischief. Troopers say she wrote a message in the bathroom wall that threatened violence for today. The girl is lodged in the Fayette County Regional Juvenile Detention Center.
The Lexington Human Rights Commission is looking into sexual harassment charges involving Fayette County Coroner Gary Jin after the city declined to pursue the case. Jin has been the county's coroner since 2002. WKYT reports that Deputy Coroner Melissa Neal made the allegations of harassment last summer after asking the Lexington-Fayette Urban County Government of Human Resources for an exit interview. Neal got emotional while telling the station about how she felt when city officials told her there was nothing that they could do.
There was nowhere that I could go, that I could ask for help or ask for a change. Coming from a background of law enforcement, you have a duty to the public, to the people you serve, to be, one, respectful of the dead, two, respectful of the community that you serve in, and respectful of your people.
In the interview, Neal says she provided multiple examples of Jen's alleged bad behavior. Among several accusations, she accused him of making inappropriate sex jokes and talking about people's body parts.
A Lewis County man has been indicted on 9 counts of second-degree rape. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, 20-year-old Terry Kane Jr. is accused of engaging in sexual intercourse with a person less than 14 years of age. Kane is also accused of using various electronic devices to procure sexual activity from a minor. Kane was indicted by a Lewis County grand jury.
As school violence becomes more problematic, many Kentucky officials are concerned as to what can be done to prevent these events from happening. One approach is to take action against threats as soon as they have been made. Intercepting violence in its earliest planning stage is what Executive Director of the Kentucky Center for School Safety, John Akers, believes to be the obligation of children's parents. He says that children's cell phones and social media accounts should be monitored for suspicious activity.
Parents have a right to look at those iPhones and see what their kids are doing, and they owe that responsibility to us so we can keep their kids safe from 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock.
Akers says that students convicted of threats should have to spend time in jail, and their parents should be fined.
We'll have more of your regional headlines after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 35th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 25th through 29th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
A bill filed in the House Tuesday could address the overcrowding in jails and provide treatment that is more effective for low-level nonviolent felony offenders. Republican Representative Kim Moser co-sponsored the bill to combat the growing number of Kentucky incarcerations. Moser tells Spectrum News Kentucky has the second highest female incarceration rate in the country.
We need to stop warehousing women with addiction and mental health problems. It does not protect public safety. It tears families apart. And we know from research that quality supervision and treatment in the community reduce recidivism and are more effective than incarceration.
Moser says the opioid epidemic has led to a need for more resources for treatment. The state currently spends about $600 million per year in the criminal justice system.
A class was held Tuesday in Lexington for first responders regarding opioid cases and how to handle them. The event was hosted by the nonprofit organization Bluegrass Prevention. BP spokeswoman Shay Walker says their goal is to get everyone on the same page.
We're looking at stats, just all the different community population and what's going on there, and then what we can really do to work together to be on the same page to address, the issue that we're seeing, the epidemic.
Walker says they will be hosting a training session for community members in Fayette Circuit Court sometime in April. For more information, visit their website at bluegrass.org.
A Republican state senator introduced a long-awaited pension overhaul bill that includes some key differences from a version backed by Governor Matt Bevin last year. Senator Joe Bowen of Owensboro on Tuesday introduced the measure to revamp one of the country's worst-funded public pension systems. The bill introduced sets the stage for action on one of the defining issues of the year's legislative session. The proposal is notable in part for what it doesn't include. A news release says it would not force current or future state employees or teachers to move into a 401k-style retirement plan. That was the cornerstone of an earlier plan endorsed by Bevin. The new bill would also not require all employees and teachers to pay an extra 3% of their salary for retiree health benefits.
A bill that would support more effective teaching for dyslexic students passed the House Standing Committee of Education Tuesday. House Bill 187 would update the definition of dyslexia, clarify qualified dyslexia screening tools, require the Department of Education to provide best practices for identifying dyslexia, and training and guidance for developing instructional plans for those students. Representative Adia Wushner of Florence, who sponsors the bill, explains how it's being developed.
That'll be developed by the Cabinet. They will collaborate with the Educational Professional Standards Board and CPE and other groups to make necessary improvements to professional development. By June 30th, that date of 2019, each local district shall develop and have in place policies for addressing, identifying, and assisting students that are characterized with characteristics of dyslexia.
Wushner says the bill will implement evidence-based practices and a multi-sensory curriculum, which would be more effective for teaching dyslexic students.
Morehead State's police chief says his department maintains a constant state of readiness when it comes to dealing with a potential on-campus shooter. According to Merle Harrison, his officers regularly train in the latest techniques for how to best keep the MSU campus and themselves as safe as possible.
Anytime. And we always look at, we send officers for refresher training. Best practices often change on, they do evolve on just about every kind of thing tactically. So we always want to make sure we're doing the latest and safest for the officers and for the people that are responding to try to help.
Along with that, Harrison says the MSU Police Department also hosts training sessions for faculty, staff, and students to teach them about what to do if they're faced with violent situations. Ranked as one of the nation's safest schools, Morehead State has never had an on-campus shooting.
The results are in from a special election to fill the seat of a state representative who took his own life last year. Haley Hansen reports.
Representative Dan Johnson committed suicide in December after a woman accused him of sexually assaulting her when she was a teen. Johnson's widow, Republican Rebecca Johnson, and former Democratic State Representative Linda Belcher were both running for Johnson's seat. The polls closed with 1,561 voting for Rebecca Johnson and 3,386 in favor of Linda Belcher. Belcher's win puts the Kentucky House at 37 Democrats and 62 Republicans. I'm Haley Hansen.
A resolution seeking the county's support for two bills in the Kentucky legislature that would legalize medical marijuana in the state sparked some spirited debate at Tuesday's Rowan County Fiscal Court meeting. Judge Executive Walter Blevins offered up the resolution, but it died without a second after several experts on both sides discussed the issues. Blevins admits he's disappointed that his resolution failed, noting that medical marijuana has been shown to have several benefits, including helping those hooked on opioids.
And actually, this had a tax in it. It's an excise tax that would help the state fund some of these kinds of programs. It would give, and if you were the community that had this dispensary, I guess you'd call it, or I think it was called a healing or a caring center, you would actually receive, I think, 10% of those excise tax that could be used for police departments and also maybe in some treatment.
Local police officials opposed the resolution because both legislative bills permit the smoking of marijuana. They believe that would create problems regarding increased recreational use and trafficking of pot. However, they say they don't oppose medical marijuana in oil or pill form.
Rowan County could be on the verge of some good economic development news. That's according to Bob Helton, the executive director of the Morehead Rowan County Economic Development Council. Helton says he's talking to two companies about locating in the area, with one of them reportedly interested in the county's spec building. He notes it takes time to cultivate those kinds of opportunities because there's so much competition out there.
Anytime we put in a proposal, you know, not only are we competing against sometimes neighboring counties, but other state and sometimes not even in the country. So there's lots of competition out there, but with the technical college open next door is a really enticing asset to be able to show a prospect now.
With negotiations at a sensitive stage right now, Helton says he can't divulge any further information or give a possible time when something might happen.
The search for Rowan County's school system's next superintendent is getting underway. School board chairman Rick Whalen says the consultant is setting up a screening committee to review the candidates for the job. Whalen says the 30-day process for people to apply has already started.
We're going to look at everybody that sends something in. We're going to, obviously we want somebody with some experience. But with that being said, we're going to look at everybody that comes in the door because you just don't know what we're going to get. Obviously, we want the best possible candidate. That person may or may not have all the experience in the world. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's a bad thing.
Applications for the superintendent's job will be accepted through March 5th. Interviews will begin shortly after that. Whalen expects hiring to be made sometime between mid-April and May 1st. Rowan County needs to replace veteran Superintendent Marvin Moore, who retires July 1st.
Taking a look at this week's weather forecast, today it'll be rainy, mild wind gusts, and a low of 46. Tomorrow morning, the rain will continue and will peak off with a high of 53. Tomorrow night, it'll be cloudy with occasional showers and a low of 52 degrees. Friday morning, we can expect some AM showers and a high of 72 and a few light wind gusts. Friday night, some scattered thunderstorms, then cloudy and a low of 56 degrees. Saturday morning, more thunderstorms and a high near 58. Saturday night and a low of 54, some cloudy and periods of rain and possible thunder. Current temperatures are 65 degrees in Ashland, 63 degrees in Inez, 57 degrees in Flemingsburg, 60 degrees in Winchester, and 64 degrees in Morehead.
On our feature segment today, as the ongoing state pension crisis continues to be debated, the city of Flemingsburg is facing down a major spending increase on retirement contribution. WMKY's Sean Delaney has the story.
Many cities throughout the Commonwealth are holding their breath as lawmakers work to fill the $33 billion hole in the state's retirement systems. One of those communities is Flemingsburg. The town of just 2,900 residents may have to spend up to $123,000 in contributions to its employee retirement systems if legislators can't come up with a solution.
That's a pretty big hit for a city our size.
That's Mayor Marty Voyers. He says city officials are bracing for a worst-case scenario.
I know some other cities, in fact, I think Moorhead has looked at an increase in their insurance tax, and that would be a place that we might look as well. We have already looked at those things to see what kind of increases would bring in what amounts of money so that we could be prepared if we decide that's the route we need to go. We'll already have that information so we can make some good decisions.
Now, with the city's current budget situation, Flemingsburg could technically afford the increase in contributions. Voyer says the local government currently keeps $500,000 set aside, but this would only be a one-time deal. Besides, he says they want to save those funds for disasters or emergencies.
You know, we want to be proactive as much as we can instead of reactive, so we're going to look to try to maintain that level of contingency that we've always had.
No word yet on the size of the tax hikes or if they will even be necessary.
And right now, we're just still waiting to see what the legislature finally does. So we're waiting to see what their budget proposals are and if and when they get a pension reform bill put together to see how that's going to impact us.
For WMKY News, I'm Sean Delaney reporting.
It's 447 and 63 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cody Robinson, and we're so glad that you've joined us on this Wednesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the city of Moorhead, home to Moorhead State University, St. Clair Healthcare, Kentucky Folk Arts Center, and Moorhead Conference Center. The City of Moorhead supports efforts to encourage community livability, economic prosperity, and cultural outreach. Facebook and online at moorhead-ky.gov.
More Louisville drama. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Louisville's basketball team has a road game against number 5 Duke tonight at 9 o'clock. The game comes just one day after the NCAA said the Cardinals will be forced to vacate their 123 wins from 2011 to 2015, along with their 2013 national title. The association rejected the school's appeal of allegations that a former assistant coach provided recruits and players with prostitutes and strippers. U of L interim coach David Padgett is upset the NCAA didn't wait until the end of the season to make the harsh announcement.
With what these players on my team have been through this year, for them to have to go through another thing like this, it's not fair to them. It's completely not fair. Reality is what it is. I get that. But these 14 players have been through enough in the last 4 or 5 months that this is going to be a distraction for them.
And for that reason, Padgett admits he's glad the 18-9 Cardinals are at least facing Duke and Durham. Meanwhile, former head coach Rick Pitino is speaking out on the NCAA's decision to vacate that 2012 Final Four and 2013 championship. Speaking at a press conference today, Pitino said he disagrees with the decision, claiming the prostitutes and strippers should not have been considered extra benefits for his players, and that the ruling changes nothing.
To say I'm disappointed with the NCAA appeals ruling would be a gross understatement. The 2012 Final Four team received room, board, books, and tuition, and that's it. The 2013 team received the same. They were hardworking young men who paid the price to be successful. My heart is broken and shattered for them. The NCAA cannot rewrite history by taking a banner down. Our players won those games by outplaying outstanding opponents, and to say I'm proud would also be an understatement.
Pitino says he wants Louisville to take the ruling back to court and appeal the decision again, although U of L interim president Greg Postal said yesterday the school has no plans on doing such. The Kentucky basketball team picked up its second straight victory with an 87-72 win at Arkansas last night. After getting down 11-0 to start the game, Kevin Knox led the comeback for the Cats, finishing with 23 points. Coach John Calipari says he thinks he's finally found the five-man rotation that gives the Cats the best chance to win.
I did away with the rotation because everybody took advantage. They just did what they wanted to do. They knew they were going in, so we have no rotation now. And what I'm doing is if a guy's playing well, he's staying in as long as he can, and please sub yourself, and I'll get you back in. And I'll ride the guys who are playing well. It's that time of the year. I just got to ride with the guys that are getting it done.
Now at 19-9, Kentucky will host Missouri Saturday at 8:15. Morehead State's basketball teams start a regular season-ending two-game homestand tomorrow night as they face OVC rival UT Martin in a doubleheader that begins at 5:15. MSU women's coach Greg Todd's Eagles will be trying to corral their 20th win of the season when they face the Skyhawks, but he admits that won't be easy.
UT Martin, we've got two road wins in a row against those guys, and I think they've got a 7-8-game winning streak.
The MSU men will face Martin at the 7:30 game at Johnson Arena. Even though the Eagles are just 6-21 overall and at 2-14 in the OVC, out of the league's postseason picture, Coach Preston Spradlin wants his club to finish strong.
We have a lot to play for, in that our fans deserve the opportunity to watch us come in and compete with two winnable games. They're not just going to give them to us. We're certainly playing for pride, and we're playing to build for things for next year. But we've got a lot to play for with 1 week left in our season.
The Eagles' lone road win of the season came at Martin back on January the 13th, a 71-67 win over the Skyhawks. The Round County girls basketball team will make a bid for its first 61st District Tournament Championship in 2 years tomorrow at 7:30 in Flemingsburg. That's when the Lady Vikings face the winner of tonight's Bath County-Menifee County matchup. Assistant coach Matt Stokes says that's important for the Lady Vikings to accomplish that goal.
We've not had a lot of success the last couple of years in districts, so really everybody on this team, for Cammie Rose, our senior, winning this district is going to mean a lot to all of them. And they can see that, we're a tough team and we can compete in a region. But I think getting that first place in the district tournament is going to mean a lot to them.
The Round girls are 19-9 this season after advancing past Fleming County last night in first round place, 71-44. In boys' 62nd district action tonight at Morgan County, Elliott County takes on East Carter. Elliott coach Greg Atkins says when it comes to the Lions game plan, it's business as usual.
Our plan tonight can't be any different than every game we play through the regular season. We kind of built towards where we're at now. We've got to come out. We've got to be great transition defense. We've got to be extremely strong on the glass. We've got to make sure we're controlling things one and done. And hopefully go in and get a few offensive second possessions for ourselves. And then ultimately, relax and understand the game's 32 minutes long.
In the boys' 61st, Menifee County faces Bath County in Flemingsburg. Coach Tim Swartz's Menifee squad split its two regular season matchups with Bath.
I think the key to our game is we have to rebound. They're bigger and physical than us. I think we have to rebound. Obviously, we'd like to shoot it good. If we rebound and shoot it good, I think we're going to come out on top.
Also playing tonight in the 63rd District, Raceland takes on Greenup County. Lots of news out of the KHSAA meeting from today. The new football alignment rough drafts were released. For teams of local interest, Bath County and Morgan County would both drop down from Class 3A to join the 8th District in 2A. Ashland Blazer, East Carter, and Greenup County would all drop from the 8th District in 4A to join Russell in District 7 in Class 3A. And Boyd and Round County would both stay in 4A but move from District 6 to 8. Also, the University of Kentucky's Kroger Field will continue to host the football state championships through at least 2022. Rupp Arena will now host both the boys' and girls' basketball state championships through 2022. And starting next year, the state softball tournament will move to a single elimination format. One note from Major League Baseball, Houston Astros minor league Forrest Whitley, one of the game's top pitching prospects, has been suspended 50 games without pay for a violation of minor league baseball's drug program. And finally, in sports from the Olympics, in what she says will probably be her last Olympic downhill event, Lindsey Vonn took home the bronze medal for the U.S., and the U.S. women's hockey team will go for gold tonight against Canada. Meanwhile, Norway has increased its lead in total medal counts up to 33, 9 more than second-place Germany. The United States has 16. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball will close out their regular season by hosting a doubleheader with UT Martin on Thursday and Eastern Kentucky on Saturday. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks closed lower, erasing earlier sharp gains after interest rates reached fresh multi-year highs, this following the release of the latest Federal Reserve minutes. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 166.97 at 24,797.78. The S&P 500 was down 14.93 at 2701.33, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 16.08 at 7218.23. The minutes from the Fed's January meeting showed officials see increased economic growth as well as an uptick in inflation as justification to continue to raise rates, interest rates, I should say, gradually. The central bank said it believes inflation can reach its 2% target, but does not think inflation is getting out of hand. Stocks initially hit session highs after the minutes were released, and buy programs actually were triggered following the minutes release as the stock market saw them as a little more dovish than expected. And Treasury yields initially fell after the release of the minutes, but then recovered. And the 10-year Treasury bond finished with a four-year high, or at a fresh four-year high, above 2.95%. And this surge in interest rates sent stocks lower in the last hour of trading. The Flash U.S. Composite Purchasing Managers Index, or PMI, rose to its highest level in more than 2 years, reaching 55.9, according to IHS. And existing home sales fell for a second straight month in January. In earnings news, Advance Auto Parts was the best performer in the S&P 500, rising more than 8% after reporting better-than-expected earnings. The company said it is pleased with its performance given what it calls a difficult sales environment. Despite the NASDAQ being down, all four of the so-called FANG stocks, meaning Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google, which of course is now called Alphabet, all four of those stocks finished with gains, and Amazon actually traded above 1,500 for the first time. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1.1% at $61.11. Gold was down 0.3% at $1,326.60 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were up, with the Stock 600 index up 0.2%. In Asia, stocks were up as well, with the Nikkei up 0.2% and the Hang Seng up 1.8%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were United Technologies and McDonald's. The worst performers were Walmart and Verizon. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Advanced Auto Parts and Mattel, while the worst performers were Devon Energy and Newfield Exploration. Turning out to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 33 cents at 70.65, CSX up 37 cents at 54.96, AEP down 80 cents at 65.57, Marathon Petroleum down a penny at 66.24, AK Steel down 13 cents at 5.68, and Community Trust Bank was up 50 cents to finish at 44.90. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes, and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Taking a look at some events coming up in our region, Moorhead State University's Student Activities, Inclusion, and Leadership Development is sponsoring a public showing of the film King, a Man of Peace in a Time of War, on Thursday, February 22nd. Showing every 60 minutes from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Athena Room, located on the second floor of the Camden Carroll Library. Admission is free and the public is invited.
For Paul's For Ability and Moorhead State University's Service Dog Program will visit Coffee Tree Books, located on Main Street in Moorhead, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, February 24th. Early readers can practice their skills and the service dog can practice listening. The event is free and open to the community.
The 19th annual Big Sandy Women's Business Symposium will be held from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Tuesday, February 27th. The conference will be held at the Ramada Hotel and Conference Center in Paintsville. The theme for this year's event is Making Connections. The cost is $30 and includes meals, workshop, and events throughout the day. That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Jacob Lindberg, Kenzie Thompson, Peyton Stewart, Tilden Johnson, Chaz Jenkins, Brian Courtney, Arlo Barnett, and Braxton Howard. Our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Sean Delaney. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and Translator W202 BHINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.